Shauna.
And I'm Ash.
And this is our first episode of Bothered AF post-Ash baby.
Yay!
So, we're really excited about this.
Yes, this one has not been pre-recorded. This is a new
episode. It's new.
It's good to be back, guys. It's really good to be back. Oh, I have missed you so much.
Oh, and I've missed you too.
It's been very, very odd to not hear from you pretty much on a daily basis. We would always text and call, and if it was down at the store, it was just, you know, on our way home.
Now I, like, don't text her.
Ever.
I don't want to bug the baby.
To be fair, I hardly ever have my phone on me, and I'll come back to it, like, an hour later, and all of a sudden I have text messages and all these notifications, and I'm like, I'll get to that eventually. I have, like, almost 100 Instagram DMs that I have not responded to, and it's been, some of them have been weeks.
You're terrible.
I know, I feel really, really bad, but it's exhausting to just sit there and respond to everybody. Not that I don't appreciate it, I love you guys, but...
She's like, I hope no one is listening.
Yeah, don't be offended, I'm so sorry, but it's just, it's a lot of work to go through, and then, like, I don't want to be on my phone when she's awake, and then when she's asleep, I either want to go to sleep, or I have things to do, so...
Yeah,
sorry about it, guys.
That's why I don't bother her. So it's not that I don't want to talk to Ashley. It's just that I'm like, you know, I'm a texter. I probably won't get a reply until later today. So
or at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Sorry. She texted me the other morning like fucking 4:30. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what is she doing? And I was like, oh, there's a baby on her boob probably.
Yep. Feeding time.
Yeah. So I understand it.
But otherwise, it's been great. She's lovely.
She's so cute.
She's precious.
She's the tiniest little thing.
She's very small. So cute.
She's so tiny. I can't wait. Like, after we're done recording, I'm going to have to go downstairs and get some cuddles from her because she's, like, adorable.
She's precious.
So I was like, kill off all of my baby fever by putting an infant in my hands, and then I'll be good. I'll be good.
You'll be good. Come over whenever you need to.
Yeah, I just need to borrow Ashley's baby every time they start to think that I want to birth another child. Honestly, yeah. And my kid would love her, too. He's been talking about her, like, nonstop. Every time I get on the phone with someone, he's like, is that Ashley? Does she have the baby?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was going to say, don't tell him that you came over. He's going to be so upset.
He will be upset. I've been showing him, like, all of the pictures and videos that you've been posting, and he's always like, oh, she's so cute and so tiny. And
I'm love like, him. Yes. He's precious.
You know him. A ladies' man.
Totally is. You're in trouble.
Oh, no. I really am.
Yeah.
He's quite the charmer.
Oh, I just love him so much. Actually, it's funny because a couple of the pictures that I've taken of her, I'm like, oh, that kind of looks like a baby Shauna's baby. I don't know if you've said your son's name on the thing yet. I'm like, do I say that? I don't want
to. I don't know if we've said it. I don't know. Who cares? I don't know. But yeah, you're like, that looks like Shauna's baby.
Yeah, because there's a couple where she's got her eyes closed and it kind of just looks like his face. And I'm like, because she's got so much hair too.
Yeah, and her hair is so dark.
Yes.
It's beautiful though.
Love it.
But yeah, okay, so what day is it? It is October 18th. It's Sunday. A Sunday. It's pretty early.
Yeah, y'all won't hear this until Friday, but that's all right.
Yeah, but with that being said, we are working on some cool, like, spooky shit for you guys. We've got a couple, like, Halloween-based episodes. Yes. Today's. We're recording two today. We'll probably
release another one maybe Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
And then a Halloween episode will come instead of it being Friday. It'll be on Saturday instead.
Yeah, because we're doing an extra one.
Yes, you're getting an extra episode.
So
next
you guys
week.
Are getting an extra episode for Halloween. We're gonna release one episode on Halloween.
Don't
and then
you
one
feel
on our
special?
Regular ones. Yeah, no, it's really cool. But we also wanted to take this time to tell you guys if you could support us just a little bit. We are really looking for people to like and follow the Instagram. We'll give you all of the information at the end, but. Because of what we're trying to do, we want to kind of
super special plan.
Relaunch the podcast a little bit for you guys. We've got like a really cool new logo and design that was made. And we're actually going to do a really special giveaway for some of you guys. And if you want any of that information to actually be able to win something, you're going to have to follow the Instagram page.
Yes.
So
it's all on Instagram.
Follow
so
the
get
Instagram.
With it,
like,
or you're going to miss out.
Like the page on Facebook for updates and stuff. But we have some really cool stuff coming up.
Yes.
So.
Share it with your friends. A lot of you have been doing amazing at that, and we appreciate you so much.
Tell everybody to follow it. Like, we've got something really cool coming. Like, I'm so excited about this.
Like, you can legit win something. It's cool. Awesome.
It's really cool. And then, depending on how that goes, we might just be doing another giveaway next month, because I have something else very similar to this one that I've been working on. And I'm super excited to share it with you guys and with Ashley, because I've kept a lot of this a very big secret
from her. Yes, she has.
So
I know about a good chunk of it, but there's something that has been a secret, and
I'm super excited for her to see everything. This is going to be really cool. I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. So far, all I've gotten are emails about it. So.
Oh, my gosh. And it's so different to actually see things in person. And
emails and text messages. So I'm ready for, like, everything. Yeah. Yes. So this is going to be cool.
Enough teasers. Sorry, guys. Follow the page. Like the page. Share it. What is it? Rate the podcast.
Yeah. And leave a review.
Reviews.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's a big thing.
Yes.
Like, reviews.
Ratings. Give us good ratings.
I guess we're just going to jump in now. Our first of the spooky stuff. Today I thought it'd be fun for us to talk about Ouija boards.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't go super into detail on specific cases just because
I found a lot.
But I did find some really cool ones that I definitely want to talk about, like, in full-length episodes, because there's a lot of really good information out there.
Yeah, and a lot of terrifying stories.
Yeah, there are. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I would love all of your guys' feedback on this, because this was a fun one to research.
My friend and I tried a Ouija board. She had one that was, like, a glow-in-the-dark one from Spencer's.
How'd that work out?
Nothing happened. I was a little bit grateful that nothing happened. But
I don't like Ouija boards.
You will never find one in the house. Don't bring one into the house.
I'm not a fan.
I do have the Oracle's, the little thing that moves.
Oh yeah.
I have a bottle opener of that, but that's
about as close to a Ouija board as getting in Ashley's house. Okay, I'll remember that. So I can't bring any of my Ouija boards to Ashley's.
Please don't.
Got it.
I know you have a massive collection.
Tons of them, every single color.
Can you imagine? Dear God, your house would be so fucked.
I know. No. I feel like I already carry bad things with me, so Ouija boards can stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah, don't open that door unless you're really prepared.
Right? Okay, so Ouija boards, also known as the spirit board or the talking board. Ouija board, actually, like, the term wasn't really coined for, like, the actual, like, game until, like, someone had patented it and started selling it. Before that, they were just known as spirit boards or talking boards. So it's usually a flat board that has the letters A to Z on it, as well as numbers 0 through 9, and then the words yes and no. Some boards even have hello and goodbye on them as well. There's also, like, a little heart-shaped pointer that is what's used to be placed on the board so that participants can place their fingers on there during seances or just for fun at home, because it's a board game that people can buy. And this is
not a board game.
This is supposedly how the other side can communicate through messages, which is kind of funny that that's, like, the turn that it took, because when they were actually patenting the Ouija board itself, like, to sell to people, it had nothing to do with that.
Really?
It was more about so that, I forget what the exact wording was, but it was originally intended for the players to put through what is in their mind.
Really?
Yes. It's funny because it was, like, very contradicting. I'll pull up the website eventually. There was a quote in there that said that in the original patent, the first portion of the paragraph had said that it was intended for the users to put out what is in their mind. And then it ended by contradicting itself and making a comment about how the other side could do it through the user.
Interesting.
Yeah, so its original intent wasn't necessarily
to
spiritual. It was to be a game. And lots of money was to be made in it.
I guess. I mean,
they made millions on millions on millions, and we will talk about that.
Dear God.
So it is believed that with a talking board that you are able to communicate with the dead. So original talking boards and stuff, like when they were doing like seances and stuff back in, like even medieval times and things like that, that was kind of what they were trying to do. And then the game does have, like, a ton of controversy around it. Many in the past just saw it as a parlor game, especially once it was introduced into, like, the Americas, while others, which would be, like, spiritualists, Christians, and occultists, seem to have a little bit more serious of a side to it, depending on, like, certain situations that have come up and circumstances with people playing games and having things happen after. The board is widely linked to the paranormal and the supernatural because of some encounters that have led to things like hauntings and even what is believed as demonic possession.
Yep.
So some sides say to stay away from the board because of this, while others say that the interaction can actually be very positive. Even some spiritualists have been like, you know, connecting with someone from beyond through a Ouija board or a spirit board doesn't necessarily have to be negative. A lot of people do believe that it can be a positive interaction.
Oh, sure.
Which I do kind of believe, like, yeah. If you believe in that kind of stuff, I think that it's the same with, like, card reading, like tarot cards. Like, I do card readings. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that when you're doing a reading, you can put negative energy into that. And, like, I won't touch my cards if I'm feeling negative or if I've been, like, in a bad place.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way when I used to do my own readings until you told me I need a better deck. That if I'm in a pretty bad place, like, you're going to get
bad cards. Yeah, it kind of, like, translates it a little bit. And I feel like if you go into it with positive energy or the people that you're with are being very positive, I feel like that can kind of come out of it.
Well, it's kind of just like however you're acting, whatever energy you're putting out into the universe is what's going to get fed back to you on
exactly.
a daily basis.
Exactly. So it's more than just like Ouija boards and stuff like that. I agree. Like you kind of get what you give. Like whatever you put out is usually what you get back a little bit.
I still think you're taking a major chance just because you never know who you're going to communicate with.
I personally won't touch a Ouija board.
Regardless.
But a lot of people do say that the interactions can be very positive, which I do believe could be a possibility.
Definitely.
So that is a thing. Many explain the game as less of a spiritual connection and more of an unconscious movements made by those playing the game.
Okay.
Which I can also see. I don't necessarily think that every single time someone touches a spirit board or a Ouija board that it's like this supernatural paranormal thing. I don't think that that's the case. I do think that a lot of the times it probably is like our unconscious fucking with us a little bit. And I'll get into that a little bit more later.
Well, and a lot of people, when they're doing it, too, I don't imagine them taking it very seriously. Like, okay, I'm here to communicate. They're just fucking around.
A lot of people are just fucking around, and they are using it as a board game like it was intended. But then there are people that go out and buy handcrafted Ouija boards that are made specifically for these kinds of things. And if you're into that kind of stuff, you believe that, like, certain woods will hold, like, certain kind of connections and stuff like that. So you can take it, like, as gently or as seriously as the mindset you're in, I think.
Got it. Well,
if that makes
cool.
sense.
Yeah. Do you want to go buy one from Spencer's or do you want to go buy a legit one?
If you're buying one from Spencer's, it's probably because you're just trying to fuck around and you're like, oh, maybe something fucked up will happen. But then there are people that are like, no, legitimately, like, I firmly believe in this and I want to communicate with someone that has passed and they're legitimately trying to do something like that. Whereas whether it's like a legit seance or just, you know, in personal use. But yeah, there are different ways that you can use this, I guess. The actual Ouija board came about around 1890 and was eventually patented and popularized, although the talking board and the concept goes back a lot farther. So I wanted to get into a little bit. Sorry, my page is turning again.
Okay, I handwrote my notes today, too, so I'll be flipping pages as well.
And, you know, I'm almost done with this one.
You're going to need a new binder.
You know, it's funny. I, like, have gotten through, like, more than half of it now.
Yeah.
I was looking at that this morning. I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to need a new notebook.
And what, we haven't even hit 20 episodes yet?
No, we haven't.
Oh, my gosh.
It's only been, I think, like, 9 months of us recording now. Yeah, and I'm already almost completely done with the whole entire notebook.
You guys, we're almost done with 2020.
Can we get the fuck out of this year, please?
Have one good thing come out of this year, and I'm very happy about it. But the rest of it is just, God, I'm
trash
so excited for 2021.
On trash.
Y'all aren't
on
even going to be
trash.
Able to celebrate New Year's Eve because COVID is shutting everything down.
No. fuck all this, honestly.
Let's just go to sleep early and then wake up feeling wake fresh. Up
and we're like, it's a new year.
2021.
We forgot that 2020 happened. That'd be really nice. Great. That's not how it's going to happen.
Not at all.
It'd be really cool, though. Wishful thinking. Fucking Groundhog Day.
Oh, please don't put that on us.
Okay, I'm going to stop. I've got Ashley, like...
It's going to be World War III January 1st. Over here,
honestly. Okay, so a little bit of history. Fuji.
Fuji.
Is also known as planchet writing or spirit writing. And that goes back to ancient China during the Song Dynasty in 960 to 1279 AD.
I called that an oracle. It's a planchet. I'm a dumbass. Correcting myself now before somebody else does.
Oh, I was wondering, your bottle opener. Yes. Sorry, I was like, I'm sorry.
Not an oracle. I don't know what the hell I was
saying. It's a planchet.
I'm tired. Fuck off.
I was like, what? And then I clicked.
Dumbass.
So this practice used a suspended tray that would guide a stick to create messages from spirits, and it would either guide the stick through sand or ashes. So this was kind of like...
Oh, I have seen that, yes.
So this is kind of like the first type of like Ouija board situation, you know? Yeah, the prototype. And then evidence of other forms of talking boards goes back to ancient Greece, India, Rome, and medieval Europe, but wasn't popularized until more recently, and it wasn't as popular or normalized as it is today. Back before, it was like a very taboo kind of thing, it was looked at very weird.
Witchy poo, this kind of stuff.
Because these people were legitimately using these to try to have a communication. Whereas the one that I'm kind of talking about is, yes, more of a board game, but its historical roots were people that were legitimately trying to summon something or speak with something. So it wasn't normal like it is now. You couldn't find it at the corner store.
No. They didn't just have it at all the little shops.
Yeah, it didn't work that way. Not until the 1890s.
All right.
So in the 1890s, talking boards began to be introduced widely in the Americas, and the original concept of it came up by the Kennard Novelty Company.
Is that kind of, that's about the time that spiritualism really kind of came out to be very popular and was kind of taking over?
I believe so. I think it was just more, like, widely talked about at that time. This was still, like, the 1890s. But it became really big, I'll get into it later, after, like, World War I.
Okay.
Like, that's when it really gained its popularity. So, eventually, there's this guy named William Fold. He would end up running the Kennard Novelty Company, and then he would change the name later on, and he's the one that kind of brought the game to its popularity. So I didn't really get super into this because it was kind of confusing to read all of the names, to be honest with you. I did a lot of my research this morning at like 5 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been up for a few hours.
Well,
but there was this guy named Kennard. He's the one that kind of came up with the concept of like making it into a game and wanting to get it patented. And he started a company with a few shareholders. And then this other guy, William Fold, he ended up working at the company, and somehow all of like the original like creators and founders ended up kind of leaving, and he ended up being able to run the company. So there's a lot of controversy over who actually invented the board game, and Fold doesn't ever legitimately say that he's the one that came up with the idea, but people have, like, coined him the creator. So that's why
his company.
Yeah, so that's why there's, like, a lot of controversy behind it, because after he had passed, like, people would be like, oh, yeah, the creator of the Ouija board, but he never himself was like, I'm the creator. So that's why there's, like, a lot of controversy behind it. But it came down to, like, the last owner, shareholder. Basically, he sold the company to Fold for $1.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that was wrong, but then I looked it up, and it looked like that was in a couple places. He sold the company to him for $1. And then it was turned into the Ouija Novelty Company. William Fold was actually a member of the Masons, and he helped create many versions of the original Ouija board. They have a really cool website that goes into the history and everything, and there are quite a few different Ouija boards that they had put out, like different styles and the way that they looked and stuff. So that was actually really
cool.
Gotta
have a variety.
Honestly. and he's the one that came up with most of it. He owned numerous factories and brought in millions with the game. The rise in sales skyrocketed after World War I, assuming because people were trying to speak with their loved ones that they lost in the war, possibly.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure.
So 1 year its sales actually beat that of Monopoly. Yeah, like 1 year there was more Ouija boards sold than Monopoly games.
Wow.
And, like, that was at a time when Monopoly was, like, very huge because it was, you know. So I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, that's definitely odd.
So this is kind of fucked up, actually. One of the last factories that Fold built, he actually said that the board had told him to do it, that the Ouija board told him he needed to build this factory. It was the biggest factory that he'd had. He'd had numerous... numerous factories. This one was actually three stories.
Whoa.
And February of 1927, he decided that he would go on top of that three-story roof to help assist with replacing of a flagpole. And one of the guardings that he was standing up against had given out, and he fell from the roof.
Dear God.
Yeah, and he didn't die initially. Initially, he broke a ton of ribs, had like a bunch of brain damage, and I think like some broken legs. Like, I think he broke a leg and then an arm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he had a lot of injuries. So, he did later die at the hospital from his injuries from the fall. But it was said that on his deathbed, he told his kids that they needed to promise never to sell the company, like that they needed to keep it in the family. So that was in 1927. The company was run by his children until 1966 when I believe his last remaining son sold it to Parker Brothers. And the reason why he had to sell was because he had like declining health and couldn't manage to run it on his own. But it did stay solely in the family until 1966.
That's nice.
So it looks like they tried really hard to do that.
Parker Brothers is still the owner of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How fucked up, though? Like, have, like, the whole Ouija board thing and then be like, oh, the factory told me to build it.
The Ouija board
told me to build the factory.
I was going
to
say, this is a real Winchester situation all over again.
Right? Just to fall off the building and die. Yeah. I thought that was really sad. I was like, damn, that's... Yeah. And there's, like, a lot of drama that came... with that whole situation, I guess William Fold actually had a brother that he was in business with for the Ouija board thing, and they came across like a ton of issues, and they had like a falling out and didn't speak with each other or anything. So there's like a lot of drama behind.
It's hard to go into business with family and friends because, you know, not everybody's going to agree on everything. That's why bands break up.
And then while he was in the process of, like, making more Ouija boards and selling them over all of that time, there were a couple other brands that came up with, like, knockoff Ouija boards, but none of them ever really did as well as his did. So he basically
dominated
the Ouija board industry.
Good for
him. It looks like the original inventors... They don't follow me when Ashley and I talk about side things.
That's okay.
But, like I was saying earlier about, like, what the inventors were saying that the game was intended for, the original inventors make no connection of the game with the spirit world. Like, it has nothing to do with it when they were originally presenting it. The original patent makes it seem like the users are just there by their own will, and it's them participating unconsciously.
That, or someone's screwing around and it's supposed to be a party game, like, no, I'm not moving it.
Exactly.
But he really is.
But then eventually, as time went on, spiritual mediums would end up using it during their seances to help communicate with the dead, usually being done like in a darker room on a small round table. So even though it was originally not intended for that use, eventually it kind of got taken on by it. So the actual Ouija board. So in entertainment, the Ouija board has been showcased in like many TV series, movies. It's talked about in tons of books. One of the first big movies to popularize the Ouija board was the original 13 Ghosts.
Oh,
in 1960.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. I've only seen the new one. But yeah, that was one of the first really big movies to showcase it. And the Fold family actually worked with Columbia Pictures to help market the game for the movie. So they worked very closely with movie producers to make sure that the game was like appropriately represented. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Other movies include The Exorcist, the Witchboard movies. I haven't seen those, but apparently they're either two or three. And
Witchboard.
Yeah, they're called...
I've never heard of those.
It's called The Witchboard, and then there's like The Witchboard something something number two.
Oh.
Yeah. So I know there are at least two movies. Paranormal Activity, and then most recently they have the movie Ouija, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Ouija...
I heard that one was stupid, so I didn't watch them.
I haven't seen them, so I'm not really sure, but that's, like, the most recent of movies that it's been in. I thought that was kind of cool, though.
Yeah. It's a lot of movies.
So, scientific investigation and debunking. So, as the phenomenon of the Ouija board has grown, so have the tales of encounters. Many truly believe that they have communicated with the dead on their own. And obviously, it's controversial because not everyone believes that you can do that.
No. My dad is one of those people who is just like, my mom watches all the ghost shows, and he's like, this is such bullshit. Like, turn this off. No.
I believe it to, like, a certain extent.
Yes.
I do think that a lot of it is fabricated, and there are a lot of experiments. We talked about one of the movies, like, movies based on real things.
Yes.
In a way previous episode, but there are experiments that they've like scientifically done in controlled environments where they put people in situations like this, not necessarily with the Ouija board, but in other situations. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of the times you're just like subconsciously doing it and tricking yourself into thinking it's that like it's really happening.
Placebo effect.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, maybe some of it's true, and maybe a lot of really fucked up things have happened, and I totally would believe it,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like majority of the time people are just, like, fucking with someone.
Like, a lot of
or they're just kind of, like, doing it, and they don't realize that they're doing it, because they want
like, I want to try it just to see, like, if anything would actually happen, but I'm so terrified, because I do believe in that stuff, I'm so terrified to just open the floodgates to hell, and then, like, now I've got something possessing my house, because there's already something here.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley's, I haven't caught that on the radio, on the podcast yet.
But. Ashley's house makes so many noises when I'm here.
You know, my mom stays in this room when she comes over to help me out.
Does
with
she
baby.
Not like it?
She puts earplugs in.
Oh, yeah. The room she that we sleep. Record in is so noisy.
And it's supposed to be, like, one of the more quiet rooms because it's detached. Not really detached, but it's far off from everything
Yeah,
else.
And, like, it can be. And when I say noisy...
There's unexplainable sounds.
Yeah, like... Unless you've experienced something like that, like, rooms can just be loud, like, without being loud. And that's this room. It's funny because I remember when I first asked Ashley if she wanted to do a podcast with me, because I would just come over, she would do my hair and stuff, and we would just talk about, like, random shit. And the night that I asked her if she wanted to do a true crime podcast with me, we had, like, this really weird thing happen.
Like, not okay experiences.
It was really, really weird. Some issues with her lights downstairs and...
Some sound that some, was making it its way. It was coming closer and closer and closer to the door. And Sophie was on the floor right there by the door. And I had to swoop her up really fast because I thought, like, it
some,
was coming.
Some, like, ungodly noise, yeah. Honestly.
And then as soon as I picked her up, it got just faster, like, and went further and further away.
Yeah.
Oh, it that was not okay.
It was really trippy. Hopefully things will stop happening at her house because
there's baby
we're
here.
We're not recording at night as much anymore, I'm thinking. We're going to probably try to get more stuff done, like, first thing in the morning, like, midday. And we used to
when
be recording.
Caffeinated.
Yeah, we used to be recording sometimes at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. So.
That was hard.
Yeah, maybe
especially
that,
going to work the next day, that was hard.
Maybe that will stop now. But, yeah, so things can happen. So I wouldn't touch a Ouija board in Ashley's house.
Please don't.
Outside of it, down the street with
the
donkeys.
Down the street with the donkeys, yes. Oh, my God.
They were making noise when I pulled up today. Like, I couldn't see the donkeys, but I could hear them.
You can hear them. They're
Ashley
loud.
Has donkeys in her neighborhood. It's so fucking weird.
They're burros. Burros. I can't say it correctly. Don't judge me.
She said burros.
Burrows, I know.
No, the second time you said it, it was great. But the first time, it literally sounded like a burrow.
I know.
You know?
Like the burrow, the houses.
I love Ashley. This is great. I'm so happy to be back, you guys. So anyways, the stories just go like on and on and on, obviously. Many people have been taken advantage of by being led to think that they are communicating with the other side when in fact they're really just being tricked. So that's another thing that we can totally talk about.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, how many people are paying for these sessions and it's just like not real?
I didn't really want to get into that kind of stuff, like with legitimate scenarios of things that have happened.
No, just we're gonna do because a scenario episode.
We're going to do an episode where we go into like legitimate things that have happened. But one of the biggest things that you will see, and it's weird because it's 2020, but it does still happen today, are innocent people that are truly just, you know, they're having trouble maybe dealing with the loss of someone, and then they reach out to someone that they think that can help because maybe they feel like, oh, I have unfinished business with this person. Like,
I wanted to go see a medium when my grandpa passed.
Did you?
I really did.
See, I would never. As much as I would want to, I could never.
I didn't because I was like, I had a hard time believing most of them being real, but I did call one of them, and I hung up as soon as she answered the phone, and they called back, and our number was private. And that was like, oh, fuck.
And you're like, what?
How did you know my number? Like, what?
Maybe your number really wasn't private. Something.
I don't know.
But, yeah, a lot of people do get taken advantage of. And I think that that was one of the things that was really big back in, like, the 30s and 40s and 50s when people were, like, openly using Ouija boards, like, at parties and in parlors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like back then it was more, like, you saw it a little bit more, like, walking through, like, cities and stuff.
It was
like
a little bit more prevalent.
Fortune tellers.
Yeah, because you hardly ever see the palm readers and the fortune tellers.
Barely see that kind of
stuff.
There's
one in Chino Hills.
There's a couple out where I live, and there's actually one in Dana Point where I grew up that has been there forever, and I got my first palm reading there.
Really?
They do like palm readings, they do tarot readings, stuff like that. So like you still see them here and there, but I feel like back then you saw a lot more of it.
Well, that was during the time, when was the Fox Sisters? Was that around the 30s?
Yeah, I want to say that was like around
the
30s.
It was a big movement.
Yeah, there's that. And then I do also feel like going back to the World War I thing, I feel like everything skyrocketed a little bit after that.
There was because, so much loss.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people were able to market on that and be oh, I'm going to be a fortune teller now.
Yeah. You want to communicate with your lost ones?
Like,
this
is what happened to him in the war.
Like, oh, yeah, because you can say whatever you want because there was
it's not
no
like
way
they're
going to
know.
Sure.
Like a lot of these.
He says he loves you and he misses you and it's okay.
No. Just move on with your
very
life.
Very generic okay. things.
Exactly.
That's not fair at all. You're just totally preying on these innocent people.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't want to go, because I was like, no, I was too distraught. All
exactly.
I wanted was to, like, I felt I had so much guilt when he died because I didn't get a chance to go and say goodbye. Nobody did.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to have that opportunity, and I was like,
unfortunately,
it's so easy for them to just
like,
be like, yeah, he says goodbye and don't worry about it.
Unfortunately, that's just like, I don't think the way that you can really do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably could, like, we were saying some situations probably have really happened. But I feel like 9 out of 10 times,
right.
They're just trying to monopolize on the fact that you're, like, vulnerable and they can tell you whatever they want. I would like to go in there with, like, a fabricated story, though.
And just to
test it and see what happens and see if someone's, like, honest and, like, I'm really not able to, like, you know, do this or just, like, be like, oh, my God, they're saying this, they're saying that.
And be like, this person doesn't exist.
Like,
they
are not real.
I would love to see, what's her name? The Long Island medium?
Oh.
Is that Lisa? No.
I don't know her name, but I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember her name, but I love her and her nails and her hair. She's just so much fun. But, yeah, I would love to see her.
And see, that's another thing about how this kind of stuff has been popularized. Not necessarily just the Ouija board, but spiritual connections and stuff like that. Obviously, it was a little bit more taboo to be talked about, you know, 50 years ago. And now they've got TV shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of stuff. So the whole people being tricked thing, and it being so, like, known that things have happened. And then you'll also get into things like Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
And them trying to, like, or people trying to debunk their, like, hauntings that they've investigated and stuff like that. Like, that's why, like, whether you or not you believe in those kinds of things, whether things have happened or not, that's why people are so skeptical about it. Because in so many instances, people are just, like, lying or trying to get money or something out of it. Like, what was it? The second family that lived in the Amityville house, how they had proven that they had fabricated a lot of stuff, yeah, and that they had, like, over-exaggerated on things to make it seem, like, more crazy. But the people that had lived there prior were like, huh, that's funny. That never really happened to us when we were there. Like, this all happened, but
yeah,
that sounds kind of, like, out of left field, you know? So I feel like that's one of the things.
They're just trying to play on the story.
Yeah, that makes things, like, so skeptical that people are like, nope, I don't believe it. It's all bullshit because so many people take advantage of the situation, yeah, you know? So early studies, of the debunking are actually linked to this thing called table turning. Do you know much about it?
I've heard about it just from, like, listening to other podcasts talk about the spiritualist movement with the Fox sisters and little things that have happened. But please,
yes,
go on.
I didn't gather a ton of information. So if you have any input,
I don't know a whole lot about it. It was just about, like, their trickery.
Okay, because all I know is that was one of the first ways that they tried to debunk the whole Ouija board thing, was, like, getting people in to do the table turning just to see if it was legitimate, like, in a controlled environment, to see if it was legitimately happening or if people were just, like, moving it themselves.
If moving it themselves, or you had a contraption that was underneath and they were really trying to figure out, like, is it magnetized? Like,
yeah, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about table turning or, like, what it's intended to do?
No.
No? Okay. I mean, I know that it's intended to, like, make connection with the other side. But, yeah, I didn't really do a lot of research into it, but
we can pull more for the actual.
Yeah. We'll do, like, episode. An episode about it, because I think that would be really cool. But that is, like, one of the first kind of study that tried to, like, debunk the whole thing,
yeah,
was them going in and disproving the table turning thing. So most lab studies on the Ouija board have shown that users are actually moving the pointer on their own while in a disassociative state where they're cut off from their normal cognitive or motor functions. That was stated in 2012.
Being, not that they're intoxicated, but being like, something else is kind of taking over for them.
Yes. So they were saying that, like, they do believe that these people are doing it without believing that they're doing it.
Like, I'm not really moving it, but
no,
your hands are on it. So physically you are moving with,
yes,
it.
Yes, but mentally you don't think you are. So literally their, like, brain is in such a state where they don't consciously know how they're controlling their motor functions. So they think that it's moving itself and that that's why their hands are moving.
But it is just kind of projecting what they want to see.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because when I read that, it made me think of the original patent that I had read about how the users were using it to, like, put out what's in their mind. But then it contradicted itself by being like, oh, you know, and the other side can do
the
it
other
through
side
them.
Can do it through
so it's
you.
Funny because, like, when I read that about what they came out with in 2012, I was like, oh, that's funny. So they really are going right back to, like, they're
just
putting
you
out what's in their mind.
It's just you doing it.
Yeah. Which I can believe.
I
wishful
can see
thinking,
that.
I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah, because a lot of people, most of the time when you're doing this, if you don't know what you're doing, you're probably not going to get anything. Like, me and my friend Lisa, when we did it, nothing happened at all.
Because you guys probably just didn't know what.
No, we had no idea what we were doing. We were in high school. Like,
you just
I want
to
say
it just to do it.
I think it might have even been eighth grade. We were young and just
yeah.
kind of like, okay, well, just what's, like, going to happen?
Oh, put our hands on it.
Yeah.
Why isn't it doing
there
something?
There was no, like, trying to make a solid connection of, like, okay, here's what we do. Like, we didn't like candles. It wasn't super spiritual or anything like that. It was just
sit
pull
down.
Pull it out of the closet, sit
it
down,
touch
shut
it.
The blinds, and turn off all the lights, and here we go. Let's see if anything works. And tried to move it around a little bit, tried to say, like, is anybody there? And nothing. But
I feel like that's probably a lot of people's experience.
That's how most of it goes, or people are just doing it and they're trying to screw around with their friends. No, I didn't do it. I didn't.
Scare the fuck out
it.
Of someone.
Yeah.
And then disbelief has been voiced since, like, the early 1920s, basically just calling the Ouija board a con. So came out in the 1890s.
You will always have non-believers.
Yeah, since like the 1920s, they've been putting out news articles and stuff about, yeah, because I saw a few different news articles from like the 20s and the 30s talking about like big seances and stuff that were proven to not be real, that kind of a thing. So
you have flat earthers, you've got the 9/11 conspiracy people. There's just always going to be non-believers for everything. Knock that nasty smile off your face. She is such a conspiracy believer. We have yet to touch on any of the
stuff. We are never going to talk about any of the conspiracy theories that I have because the government will literally come after me.
Okay, honestly, we'll touch on a few of them. Some of them we might not be able to.
Okay, maybe we can talk about, like, the aliens and stuff. I'm okay.
Well, they're already releasing all the footage and the evidence that they're real.
I'm okay talking about those kinds of things.
It's then. Like, they're trying to distract us from so many other things that they're just like, here you go, here's your evidence for aliens. Yes, they exist, here, they're real.
Aliens exist. Take it. Talk about that for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, don't talk to me about 9/11. I wasn't supposed to laugh. That wasn't laughing at like that at all.
I don't want to talk about 9/11 because it's too stressful for me.
So many things.
Yeah, I tried to like look into it and then all of a sudden I fell down a rabbit hole and I was like, no, I'm done with this.
The first rabbit hole I fell down with 9/11, I was probably in like the fifth grade and I had this friend who was like, she's actually a kindergarten teacher now. It's kind of funny. Aww. And her mom was like a total hippie. It was great. I loved going to her house. But she was really big into conspiracy theories. She was like a vegetarian with a radical hippie mother. And her father was a professor. So, like, you know, I think they were all just, like, really fucking smart. And I still have it saved on one of my old computers. She sent me this, like, link on the notepad from one of, like, the old school desktop computers. And I swear that thing went on for, like, 50 pages. And I read every single word of it. And it was basically all about, like, letters that were sent in and warnings and then certain things that had happened that, like, connects to other things. Yeah. All about 9/11, and I was, like, 12 years old.
Like, yeah. Shortly after it happened.
Yeah, no. I fell down that rabbit hole at a young age. Mm-mm. So, one last really cool thing.
Sorry, sidetrack.
No, yeah, sidetrack, right? One last really cool thing that I saw about the whole Ouija board phenomenon was Norman Rockwell did a picture, and it had, like, a man and a woman, like, on their knees at a table with a Ouija board.
Really?
Yes. And that was, I guess, like, one of the first big, like, popularized things with a Ouija board.
I don't even know if I've seen that.
I guess I could, like, look it up right now.
We're posting this one as a picture.
Yeah. Let's see. Ashley, talk about something.
I like art and paintings and Norman Rockwell, so that's cool.
She really is like,
I don't know what to say. She put me really on the spot like that.
Like,
shit.
I like art.
I was gonna stop
paintings.
Right there.
Okay. But yeah, no, it's a thing.
Oh.
So
that's kinda neat. I like their old fashioned chairs.
Those are
and
cute.
It's just on their laps.
That's funny, though, because the description that I read said that they were on their knees doing it. And I was like, wow, are they really trying to make it seem like this, like, couple is, like, devil worshipping or something?
I mean, you saw all the old propaganda for a bunch of, like, smoking marijuana. It's the devil's gateway.
Yeah, and, like, I just thought it was funny because the description was like, oh, a couple on their knees in their living room with a Ouija board. And I'm like, oh, cool. So they're really trying to make them
look
like... It's
actually a lot more, like...
yeah, but this is cool. Fancy. I mean, like, it's definitely a Norman Rockwell.
Oh, totally. I love it.
Picture. We'll have to post it with everything. But yeah, I just thought that was cool because I'm like, okay, way to, like, popularize the sensation, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the Ouija board.
Yay,
I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'm sorry. I feel like we were super scattered today. But give us a break because this is the first time that we've recorded in over a month.
Yeah, and
it's
we're going to record
a month
another
since
one
I've
right
been
now.
Here. So... Yeah.
And mine is going to be a little bit choppy, so fair warning, next week's episode is going to be, because we're recording it right now, my thought process is not all there, so if I jump around
like
a lot,
I feel like neither
so
of
sorry.
Our thought processes are here right now.
Neither one of us are sleeping very well these days.
No, I'm caffeinated, but like...
Not as much as you usually
it's
are.
It's early. This is really weird for me. I'm used to like...
It's 10:30.
I've been up since 5, and I'm used to recording at like midnight. after I've gone through my whole day and I've had an energy drink, 3 cups of regular coffee, plus a couple shots of espresso over ice.
And then she comes back at midnight with another energy drink.
Exactly. All I've had in me right now is like a liter of water and half of a Bang.
And our original plan was when we come back to record is we were going to get like pretty tipsy and record.
I know.
And then we ended up recording in the morning and we both have things to do.
I was thinking about that on my way here. Like, I grabbed my Bang from my fridge and my dumbass little brother had a bunch of White Claws in there. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should bring a couple White Claws and have Ashley crack one while we're recording. But then I was like, you know,
it's a little early.
It's like,
I need some mimosa.
It is a Sunday. We could be like brunch things.
Ooh, true.
Next time we record in the mornings, I'm just gonna like bring alcohol with me and
screwdrivers.
Yay. Yes, we'll make screwdrivers or like Bloody Marys or something.
No, I'm sorry, I don't
she
do
doesn't
Bloody
do Bloody Marys.
I don't do
okay, I saw her face. I was like, she don't do Bloody Marys.
I don't do spicy.
So next time we record in the mornings, it's gonna be brunch themed, and we will be drinking.
That will be actually when we're recording the Halloween episode, right?
Yes, cool. So we're going to get drunk for the Halloween episode.
All right.
That'll be cool.
That'll be either a hot mess or it's going to be really fun for you guys.
It's going to be really cool. That the Halloween episode is going to be killer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spook, spook.
All of the new stuff coming up is going to be super spook, spook.
Yes.
So with that being said, it was great talking to y'all about the Ouija board.
Please.
We got to move on to the next one.
Follow us on Instagram so you
yes.
can get all the details for the contest.
Bothered_AF.
Yes.
There's a Gmail. Send us things. Actually, it's really funny. I have a new girl that I just hired at work that used to work at Knott's Berry Farm, and she told me about some really crazy stuff, and she promised that she would type up the whole thing
and send it to us. Oh my god, if she doesn't send it right away, I'm
maybe
so
we
mad.
Could talk about this on the Halloween episode, because
it'll just be a really long fun
she
episode.
Like really like glazed over the whole thing for me, and I was like, what the fuck.
Oh, it's a special Halloween deluxe
yeah.
episode. That
so,
might be a really long one. I'll release it at like midnight maybe
on
the first
yeah.
thing in the morning.
This one could be this will be really cool, so I'll have to like really twist her arm into
Ooh.
that. But yeah, so send us your stuff. It's botheredaf@gmail.com.
yes. And we have a Facebook.
Yeah, there's a Facebook page.
Just
look up Bothered AF on Facebook.
Get on there.
Just because please,
for
the love of God.
When we start doing stuff and we start putting out all the information on Facebook, at least you'll get it right away.
Yeah, because I post things on my Facebooks. So like, literally, I can post it and share it or, like, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
We can figure out how to link the Instagram to the Facebook.
We
will.
We talked about it. Yes,
yeah.
It's a thing. I'll do it. I'll do it.
I don't know anything about that.
I found the button last week.
Oh, really?
I just...
There's a button.
There's a button.
But you have to link it and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Anyways,
great.
Follow all of the stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, follow it. Cool shit coming
out. Cool beans, guys.
Yeah.
It
was great talking
to
you guys. So, yeah, like, cool.
Oh, and go rate the podcast, please, and thank you.
Go rate it. Maybe not off of this episode. I feel like I was very, like, back and forth today.
But if you listen to all the other ones, you know us.
The Dyatlov Pass episodes, those were pretty good.
Those were intense.
You can rate us on those ones. That had some good banter.
Yeah.
And lots of information if you like info.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That one was...
That was cool.
That was a very unsettling topic for me.
Go listen and rate and review and like and follow and
love us because we love you.
Yeah, we do. All right. It was cool talking to you guys. Until next time,
stay
bothered, guys.
Bye.
Bye.